the biggest weekend of the year is here. The biggest wrestling event is here. And the all new Wrestling Guys podcast episode is dropping right now. Round two, greatest IC champ. Let's get it. All right. Coming to you from the Forgotten Borough, Staten Island, New York. This is the Wrestling Guys podcast. This is the fans' perspective on all things in the world of WWE and the world of professional wrestling. We are your hosts. I'm Eric, otherwise known as Fizz. With me, as always, my tag team partner, Chris. Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. Never miss. WrestleMania weekend is here. Round two, greatest IC champ of all time is here. And we got a lot to go through. We know what we're going to do. We're going to sit a deal. We're going to get a little clink going on. The drink is poured. Having a little Thursday cocktail. How you doing? Shout out to the White Claws. Keeping it healthy. Getting a little buzzed. Let's get it going. How we doing? It wasn't you that got slapped this weekend, but I just couldn't help myself.
It was a different Chris. Chris Rock, as the world saw. I don't know. A lot of mixed feelings I'm seeing about that, but Will Smith kind of lost his cool at the Oscars and smacked Chris Rock in the face for telling a joke about his wife.
So I don't want to spend too much time on it. It's been played to death. But me and you being the movie guys as well, you have your fans' perspective podcast. So this is why I wanted to get it here, and maybe we'll expand on it further on episodes that you want to tune in. Where you get all your podcasts, wrestling guys podcast as well as the fans' perspective podcast. This is a hypothetical. You're in charge of the Academy. What do you do to Will Smith?
Regardless of who it is, right? I think people are getting caught up on the fact that it's Will Smith, right?
Right.
I think that what we need to do is put aside the fact of who he is and just talk about what he's done. So I think with that said, regardless of who commits something like that, there has to be a consequence. Whether next year they say, listen, we're not going to invite you back. You're not going to present any awards next year. And then maybe the year after, we'll talk about it. But that's what I would do, is I would just go to him and say, because of the situation, we will not be inviting you back next year to present anything. Now, apparently, the Academy is voting on whether or not to ban him, not revoke his Oscar, but to basically remove him from all future events. Another reason as to why they are doing this is because apparently they did actually approach him and ask him to leave after he smacked Chris Rock and he refused to.
So I'm going to call BS on that. So the initial report was apparently it was spread out throughout the whole theater and they couldn't mobilize themselves to ask him to leave. Now the new report is they asked him to leave, he refused. And then today's report is they asked his publicist to ask him to leave, and through his publicist, he said no. So again, not spending too much time on it. I call crap. What you saw, and I love movies. I love teaching film. I love watching them. You saw the hypocrisy of Hollywood in a nutshell that night, that a man can get up, slap a guy in the face, sit right back down with no consequence. 20 minutes later, get a Best Actor Oscar, start crying on stage, saying that he's a vessel for love. It's one of the most hypocritical, one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen on live television. Will Smith should be embarrassed of himself. Apology doesn't cut it. I don't think they're going to revoke his Oscar. Yeah, a standing ovation on top of that. I don't think they revoke his Oscar. I think he should be kicked out of the Academy. And maybe we'll revisit in 5-10 years. But I think right now there needs to be some repercussions. Don't be surprised if they try to set a precedent with him and try to remove his Oscar from him, because of the backlash that's happening right now. I do see people supporting it. Yeah, he disrespected his wife, blah, blah, blah. You could have approached him backstage. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, anyway. It could have been done in private. Whoopi Goldberg is a member of the Academy, and on The View, she talked about how they are coming to a vote about whether or not to remove him, but they are not. She said they're not going to revoke his Oscar. So,
Right. Understandable. Anyway. Enough of that bullshit. Will Smith, highly disappointing. You can't say I'm not. And celebrities should not be above reproach, especially when it comes to assaulting somebody on live TV. All I'm saying is that if I'm a school teacher, if I just slapped Chris Rock on the stage, I would have been removed from the theater and put in handcuffs. I'd probably still be in jail right now. That's all I'm going to say about that. Anyway, WrestleMania is here. I feel like we've been talking about it for a while since we came back, but it kind of came up on us really quick. This weekend is just full. We're talking Raw, SmackDown, and Hall of Fame in the same night, NXT and Night 1 in the same day. In the afternoon, you have Stand and Deliver. You have WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania Night 2 on Sunday, Raw after WrestleMania. They're saying they're going to pull out all the stops again. We have a very, very full plate this weekend.
How about the Steiner brothers in the Hall of Fame?
I'm shocked. And I think because for the longest time they were afraid of Scott Steiner making a speech or saying some nonsense because he's a loose cannon. I was hearing, and I don't know if you read these reports either, that they were thinking about just Rick Steiner. You can't have Rick without Scott. It got to be the Steiner brothers together.
Yeah, it has to be.
They're one of the greatest tag teams of all time. Scott Steiner's, you know, craziness aside, my immediate thought was, dude, they're going to have to keep that guy on a very short leash. You know, I think personally, and this is just me, just my speculation, the fact that The Undertaker is going in, I think Scott Steiner's not going to pull no shit out of respect for Taker. You get what I'm saying?
I think it would have been happening regardless if they didn't have some type of conversation with Scott and be like, hey, you know, put your personal feelings aside and let us honor your career. Let us induct you into the Hall of Fame. And he was probably like, okay, fine.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Well-deserved. Very small Hall of Fame class this year.
So it's the Steiners, it's Undertaker, it's Vader, Charmel. I guess that's it, right?
And Shad Gaspard will be getting the Warrior Award, very deservedly so, posthumously, after rescuing his son. Overdue, if you ask me, should have been last year. But it's great to see him being honored with that. Unfortunate that he's not here, but good to see him being honored in that respect. Very small class this year. I thought at least maybe, you know, not another woman, but another wrestler or another female wrestler. I mean, there's still plenty to be had, still plenty of WrestleManias to be, you know, wrestled. I think Victoria is very overdue for a Hall of Fame induction, if you ask me.
What about Sable? Sable's not in yet.
Absolutely. Sable's definitely a Hall of Famer. I don't care what people say. Definitely.
Right. No. I mean, she is. I just find it interesting that she's not in yet.
Vader, I thought, was overdue as well. And, well, of course, it's posthumously now.
But, I mean, she's Brock Lesnar's wife. Brock is, in my opinion, as we talked about last week, I think is going to win both belts in the main event, and they haven't inducted her yet. So
you never know. You know, you do hear of people who do turn it down. You know, Batista was going to go in 2 years ago before when COVID hit, and then he decided not to go in last year. Excuse me. It was the year before, and then they did the double inductions last year. And he decided to, you know, wait until he could do it properly, and this year they decided to honor Undertaker, because I think Batista's going to end up headlining one of those years. You know, you never know. Maybe they're like, no, you know, or maybe, you know, now's not a good time. Or, you know, Brock is known for his privacy. Maybe Sable's, you know, also very a private person. Just as like, hey, I'm good right now. Who knows? I mean, if you want to honor somebody's career, I think she'll accept it. But who knows? You know, I don't know her personal life, you know. But there's still, like, I can think of, like, Steiner Brothers is one of the tag teams that are overdue. Dude, like, you know, and I hate to say, but I know they have, like, some type of thing going on legally with WWE, but Demolition, dude. Like, what are we doing? One of my all-time favorite tag teams. What are we doing here? Like,
they might wind up being posthumous too.
Put the bullshit aside. Sign a Legends deal so we can get you back in the video games. Because the year, I think it was WWE 12, the year that they were in it, I played as them all the fucking time. They were awesome. I made them like every single tag champ that I had. Like, enough's enough. Like, those guys like that are like, dude, just so overdue, man. Like, you know, it's going to be too little too late by the time they're like, yeah, let's get them in there, you know?
Yeah, hopefully it happens.
I mean, we got some good things on the way. You got Stand and Deliver looking like a very solid card. Dolph Ziggler being NXT champion still blows my mind. The fact that now you have Bron Breakker, who everyone feels like is being called up. Tommaso Ciampa looks like this is his last to go around with NXT, and he's going to probably move up because I don't know if you saw NXT this past Wednesday. He cut a really nice promo. And then, you know, when he's always sitting on the chair, you know how he used to just throw the chair and walk off. This time he folded the chair up, put it against the grate, and it had the date that he started and the last date of NXT, which is Stand and Deliver, that he's saying it's his last dance, so to speak, with NXT, which I think is great. I think he's a star, personally. And if he moves up to the main roster, I think he could do some great things on the Raw roster. Hopefully.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see one of those Raw after Mania debuts for him. He's already done it, you know, several times. As part of the NXT brand. Anyway, remains to be seen. I think, do we want to save Mania stuff for the end? You want to get right into this tournament style thing we got going on?
Yeah, let's head into round two of our Intercontinental Champion Madness tournament. Who is the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time? Remember, we have four brackets. If you missed the first round, shame on you, but it's on the archive, so make sure you go and listen to that.
So we started with the golden era last time, right? Why don't we work backwards this time? We'll go with the current modern era, and we'll take it from there.
All right. So here's what we're going to do.
All right. Fill us in, because I want to hear this. Yeah.
So when I initially created the bracket, I made 68 seeds because that's what the NCAA tournament is. Now, I know NCAA does their tournament a little differently, but we had each bracket with 17. It left us uneven for the second round. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the seven names for each bracket, and we're going to eliminate one right off the bat. And then we're going to go through with the rest of the brackets there, the seeding. So,
wow, so somebody's just not even going to get a matchup. They're just going to be like, see you later.
See you later, yep.
Woo, all right.
So let's go with the modern era. Here are the seven names.
Okay.
The Miz, Wade Barrett, Finn Balor, Dolph Ziggler, Rey Mysterio, Kofi Kingston, Cody Rhodes, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins.
Oof, okay. If I had to, I'm between two people, Finn Balor or Seth Rollins. That does not make it through right now to this matchup. Now, I'll tell you why here. Finn Balor is one that he kind of had this little thing with Lashley, won at WrestleMania, which was nice, but he never really did anything. He had, I think, 98 days and then went to SmackDown and then lost it to Nakamura. Seth Rollins had this long, dragged out feud with Dolph Ziggler that I thought was never going to end. Mm-hmm. He wins it from The Miz, loses it to Ziggler, wins it back, and then loses it in the midst of that Dean Ambrose reign where Dean Ambrose was on the, you know, turning heel, but then he decided not to renew his contract. I don't know. I'm between the two of them because I feel like their reigns did not have any significance in terms of like really good feuds. They had some pretty good matches, some pretty big wins, but I think in terms of overall reigns, it's between the two for me. I don't know where you're standing here.
So I was thinking Finn Balor as well, just because the highlight of his Intercontinental title reign was winning it at WrestleMania. Wow. And then, like you said, there was really nothing much done with it until he lost it. So my choice, as much as I love Finn Balor, would be to take him off.
All right, so you are the tiebreaker. I think Finn Balor is eliminated.
So we are eliminating Finn Balor right off the bat here. All right, so let's go with the rest of our seedings here. So that means the first matchup is The Miz, who received the first round bye, and Wade Barrett.
I'm going to go, so right off the bat, I think I'm going Miz here. I think Miz is, he's probably going to go down as one of the greatest Intercontinental champions of all time when it's all said and done. Wade Barrett, not to discount Wade Barrett, because he has some pretty good title reigns. But I think The Miz, in terms of quality, like he had the title when he had Dallas and Axel with him. And they had a really good run together. They had those really that really good feud with Ziggler. He had some quality. I think just up and down, his reigns have always been really good quality. And when he was a heel with that title, oh, man. And he had that really good feud with Reigns, too, where Reigns took the belt off him. Then he won it back from Reigns. I'm going Miz here. I love me some Wade Barrett. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I would agree with The Miz. Eight-time Intercontinental Champion. Wade Barrett had it like five times, I think. But yeah, I think a running theme for me here going through the modern era, as I said last week on our last episode, was that the modern era is the era that they did the least amount with. I mean, yeah, there were great matches and there were some good feuds, but a lot of Intercontinental title reigns, I feel like they're just kind of giving it to them almost as a token. And then you don't really see much of it until they're ready to lose it to somebody else.
I would agree there. I mean, the fact that there's no Intercontinental Championship match at WrestleMania this year really speaks volumes to where they probably view the title. And it's a shame because we've said how great, I mean, for me also, how great, probably my favorite championship of all time, just because of the quality of the matches and the work rate. And they would always steal the show. You know, Hogan was not known for the great world title matches. He had the giant ones, but it was always the IC title match that came in and stole the show for the rest of the night. And they're not putting any steam behind these reigns or putting any quality IC title feuds together for these guys. And it's unfortunate. But when, you know, for me, when The Miz had it, I could think of very a few good memorable feuds, and just the fact when he has it, he shuts her like a he brings more prominence to the belt when he's champion, I gotta say.
So let's move on now to let's go to the middle of the bracket. Let's jump around a little. Let's do Kofi Kingston and Cody Rhodes.
Wow. That is okay. Go ahead.
I'm gonna go Cody Rhodes here. It's really just because of his length as Intercontinental Champion. He brought back the classic version of it with the white strap. And it kind of felt like the IC title maybe meant something again when he did that. Kofi Kingston is one of those guys that they put it on him just to say that Kofi Kingston was a champion, was holding a belt. I think compared to the two, I know Kofi, he's feuded with just about everybody. He's one of the top guys, in my opinion, in the company. I don't know how much relevance he had with the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, I mean, he had a few decent reigns, nothing over 100 days, quality matches. But yeah, Cody Rhodes, when he had that initial reign, was like 230 days, mm-hmm. right? 236, excuse me. And he brings back the classic and Intercontinental title, the white strap. He cuts a really good promo with it. And like I said, I think I said this last week too, or last episode, it felt like they were strapping the rocket to him. And I thought for sure he was going to beat Honky Tonk Man's record. Because the way they were building it and they were talking about it here and there, and he drops the Big Show like bullshit. But yeah, I'm going Cody Rhodes as well.
So now let's go to two guys who actually feuded for the IC title, Dolph Ziggler and Rey Mysterio.
This may be I don't know if this is how unpopular this is, but I'm going Dolph. Better quality matches, better quality feuds, Rey Mysterio. 63-day reign, 65-day reign. He had the really good feud with Jericho over the belt, though, where mm-hmm. it was mask versus title at the Bash. And then they had that one where Jericho pinned him when he did the 619, and he ripped off the mask at the same time and pinned him, which was actually perfect timing, honestly. But then they put no steam behind it. He lost 65 days later to Morrison. Whereas Ziggler they had a really great match at SummerSlam, Ziggler and Mysterio. You could play it in the showcase in the new game, which is awesome. But the feud, one, beating The Miz at SummerSlam, dropping it to him at Night of Champions, Ziggler winning it back, and then they had the whole feud leading up to No Mercy. In between, there was a bunch of champions in between there. But when they went back to each other at No Mercy, where, in my opinion, that probably should have been the main event of the night. There was so much drama behind it, so much emotion behind it. And when Ziggler won, it was like, holy shit, this is awesome. Granted, we'd only win it like, I don't know, it was like 37 days, and then you drop it right back to the fucking Miz. But it's the match itself, the story, the buildup was so good. I think Ziggler, man. I'm going Ziggler here.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Dolph Ziggler as well. I mean, Rey Mysterio is one of my favorites of all time, but I think Ziggler's reigns as champion just meant a little bit more than Rey Mysterio's did. Mm. All right, and the final match of the second round of the modern era, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins.
Ooh, Battle of the Shield, real life feud. The brothers are, wow, another feud to add under their belt. For me here, now I know how you feel here, but I was already on the fence about Seth Rollins possibly being eliminated. I like Dean Ambrose's reign as actually IC champ. He used to defend. He defended a lot. He had a good feud with The Miz. Also, he had good matches with KO. Remember one at the Royal Rumble? I believe it was a table. Was it a tables match or like a TLC or like a no holds barred? Forgive me, but I don't remember the exact match. But remember him knocking KO off the top rope into a table that was outside the ring. Anyway, he had some really good feuds. And then, you know, he goes out with the injury for a while. Rollins gets the belt, but then he beats him when he's doing his heel turn. And then, you know, that whole shake up with his contract is dropping it to Lashley. But that one initial reign, it's 152 days, was a really good title reign compared to combined Seth Rollins, both title reigns. That's not taking away nothing away from Seth. He did defend it a lot in that short span that he had it. But for me, like, the Ziggler feud really put a damper on that initial reign. I'm going Dean.
So I'm going the opposite way.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I say it's Seth Rollins because I remember the triple threat at Mania that year where he
beat Great match.
Yeah, he beat Miz and Finn Balor. And I felt like they were going to elevate it a little bit more again with Seth Rollins wearing a belt. And he had that match against The Miz at Backlash, which is it was a bad pay-per-view, right? You know, right by us at the Prudential Center in Jersey.
That was the best match of the night, probably.
That was the best match of the night, yeah. We were both there that night.
Yeah.
But that was the best match of what was kind of a lackluster pay-per-view. And then he had the feud with Dolph Ziggler, which, you know, as you said, people complained about. I can make an argument that one of our next round matchup kind of dragged out as well. But I just felt that his reign from that time he won it to Mania, he traded it with Ziggler and then lost it to Dean Ambrose after Ambrose went heel. His reign was meant to elevate it a little bit more. And I felt like it did up until they put it on Dean Ambrose, who then lost it to Lashley shortly after. And now it's, you know, the Intercontinental title's kind of taken a back seat again. Right. So that's why I'm going Rollins.
You know what? I'll agree with that on that argument, because I do agree with that. He did use that title. Like I said before, he has some really good matches and good defenses. So they did put it on Rollins to elevate the belt, and he did in that time that he had it. I do enjoy Dean Ambrose's reign too, but Seth Rollins did bring some like almost prestige back to that belt because he was having these high quality matches in his defenses. So okay, Rollins, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with the moving on. Wow, almost eliminated to the next round. Way to go, guys!
So the matchups for the next round of the modern era, we won't get into them now, but the matchup is The Miz and Dolph Ziggler and Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins.
Wow, I like that. I like those matchups. I like those. All right, I'm going. Let's switch it up here. Let's do like out of order here. We did modern, right, era. Yep. Let's go attitude. Let's go attitude era here.
All right, let's go attitude era. Let's see who's left from arguably the most popular era in wrestling history.
Everybody wants the Attitude Era back. Got Austin coming back on Saturday. Might close out the show. Way to go.
Yeah, still, obviously we're all looking forward to that, but can't wait to see what he actually does.
Do you have t-shirts planned for every night? So here's my idea. I bought the black and white. I bought it on WWE.com in honor of the anniversary of the Austin 316 promo. I bought that black and white shirt where it's Austin talking to Michael Hayes, which is a fantastic shirt, by the way. So I'm going to wear that for night one for Austin. And then night two, I'm just wearing a Bloodline shirt because I'm gonna acknowledge him all day. We going with the one for Roman. I like to coordinate the fits. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, I don't have any left except the Brock Lesnar shirt. So
that's awful. You need to order some right now. They have a nice sale going on with the because apparently everyone's saying Access was canceled, but Access is not canceled. I don't know what the hell people are talking about. They have a nice sale going on for Access. You can get some new gear and stuff. I like to buy shirts every so often. Thanks to rest in peace, Dude the Juice Man. He would order himself a million shirts and be like, "Oh, I got you something." I'm like, "Dude, I got two drawers full of wrestling shirts now because of this guy." And a lot of them when it was in my bigger days. So a lot of 3Xs that look like dresses. So I'm gonna give them to my son or something. I don't know.
I'll have to take a look at that sale. See what's going on there.
And there's a good shirt every so often. And then when you go to the live events, sometimes they have like an exclusive shirt. MSG had a great like WWE, but in the Knicks style logo that looked amazing. So I actually bought that one the last time we went to when SmackDown came back to Raw back in September.
All right, so let's look at the seven names, because remember we're gonna drop one off here for the Attitude Era. So we got The Rock, Chris Jericho, Jeff Jarrett, Triple H, Chris Benoit, Owen Hart, Ken Shamrock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and China.
Okay, so I'm going to choose one, but it's going to sound like I'm sexist. I'm going to say China.
I was thinking the same thing. The exact same thing, actually.
I don't want to – I know she's the only woman to ever hold the Intercontinental title, and that's very, very impressive, but that's kind of where it ends after that.
Yeah.
You know, who did she beat in the first round? Can you remind us?
Ahmed Johnson, only because we had to fill that spot.
And Ahmed Johnson sucked too. So if it's up to me, I'm going China, just because the win was great, but her reign was what it was. It wasn't anything spectacular.
Yeah, I agree. So China is off. So now let's go to our first official match of this bracket, and that's going to be The Rock, who got the first round bye, against Chris Jericho.
Ooh, this is tough. This might be one of the hardest ones we had. The Rock was a fantastic Intercontinental Champion. He elevated that belt to no other. Now, we're not so I have to scrutinize a little bit, right? Jericho has the most reigns at 9. Fantastic Intercontinental Champion, great quality matches. Rock, on the other hand, also great quality of matches, but the Rocky Maivia reign, the first Intercontinental title he held, that might put the damper for me, and I'm going to go with Jericho based off of that. I don't know. The Maivia reign, when he was talking about Lady Luck and he's so lucky to win the title and all this other bullshit, they end up losing it to Triple H. It was only when he went to the Nation, won that belt, and then became the leader of the Nation where that belt became something important in that feud with Austin. He, him and Austin took it to that next level. But Jericho, man, every time he won it, with the exception of that, like, co-reign with China, which was, like, stupid, when they, like, shared the belt and they kept, like, whatever, it was stupid because they both pinned whoever at the same time. I give Jericho the slight edge over The Rock. I think Jericho advances.
This is a tough matchup, and from here on out, with the rest of the tournament, it's going to get harder and harder because we have to look at these guys and find the negatives to point out so we can eliminate people, right? That's the whole point of it. The Rock's first reign as Rocky Maivia.
My bad. He beat Triple H, lost it to Owen Hart. My fault.
Right. Go ahead. Yeah. So after he beat Triple H, who was still Hunter Hearst Helmsley at the time, that's when The Rock was, Rocky Maivia was getting booed. Right. Nobody liked him. Nobody wanted him. He dropped the belt to Owen Hart and then made his heel turn. And then the rest is history. Right. So, but during the second reign, has it handed over to him by Austin, because Austin says, I'm over this belt. I'm going after the world title.
Throws it in the fucking river.
Right. Fantastic. So, and then The Rock is crowned just Intercontinental Champion. He had that really cool feud with Ken Shamrock where Shamrock would always kind of beat him, but then they would reverse the decision because Shamrock was a loose cannon. That was a good feud. I can't remember off the top of my head who else Rock feuded with after Ken Shamrock until he lost it to Triple H at SummerSlam. It just feels like when that Shamrock-Rock feud ended, The Rock feuded a little bit with Farouk because they kicked Farouk out of the Nation.
And yeah,
the rest of that time was just the Nation versus DX, which culminated with the ladder match at SummerSlam and Triple H won.
Right.
That's pretty much it. And The Rock held the Intercontinental title that long.
Because 265 days.
Right. Because he was The Rock. Had that belt because they knew that he was just the next superstar in line.
But you could almost say he was probably the best Intercontinental champion to come out of the Attitude Era in that era. I'm talking about 97, 98.
Right.
Right. But when you look at Jericho's total number of reigns, right? Some of them didn't come in the Attitude Era. I get it. Off the bat with Jericho, Benoit, Eddie, Kurt, the great ladder match with Benoit, all that stuff. Like I could think of about three or four quality feuds. Even the feud with China, as stupid as it was entertaining. The co-reign was dumb as hell, but at least it was entertaining. Then they started like teaming up for a while, then they turned on each other and he went a little crazy. I remember like heard him taking a hammer to her hand while he was like tied up or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so other than that though, I think he has some great ones. And then even then, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but didn't him and Christian have a feud for it as well? If I'm wrong, maybe Christian's a champion. Him and Rob Van Dam had a couple of good matches for the belt. Jeff Hardy for the belt, and then that feud with Mysterio. You get what I'm saying? So right off the, and this is me, I obviously have some reference in front of me as well. I don't fucking know all that stuff off the top of my head. I know a few, but like I could name four or five quality feuds / matches with Jericho as opposed to the one big feud with The Rock and Triple H or The Rock or Nation versus DX. You get what I'm saying? I don't know where you're leaning. I'm going Jericho for sure.
I'm going to lean towards Jericho. It's not by much.
No, but I think it's a slim margin because The Rock in that time was the IC champ. You know, they debuted that new belt. He had the new belt with him with the purple strap. He was really right. He not to, you know, no pun intended here, but he rocked the shit out of it. You know what I mean? Like that was him with the freaking Versace shirts and everything like that, cutting those promos in the ring with the Nation. He killed that man. And a great ladder match at SummerSlam. That's probably the match of the night of that SummerSlam. Go watch that if you've never seen it. Fantastic.
Without a doubt it is, yeah. MSG or Continental Airlines?
Oh, no, MSG. It wasn't MSG.
MSG. Yeah,
the highway to hell with Undertaker and Stone Cold.
All right, let's move on here to our next matchup. Chris Benoit and Owen Hart.
Oh, man. I'm going to go Benoit here, as unpopular as it is. However, Benoit, I think, had better feuds, better total reigns. Owen Hart, just his reigns served the purpose to get him and to get Austin over. You know, he beats Rocky Maivia. He loses it to Austin at SummerSlam. Austin can't defend it because of the injury. He wins it back because of Austin against Farooq, only to drop it like 30 days later, 35 days later, to Austin at Survivor Series, and then throws it in the river. So it was just, it was a means to an end, Owen Hart. You know, it was all about getting Austin to that point. Good matches. Yeah. Owen Hart's fantastic. Probably one of the most underrated wrestlers of all time. But based off purely wrestling alone, we're not talking about anything else outside of the ring, it's Benoit.
I second that for everything you just said. So Benoit moves on. Now let's go to, how about this interesting matchup right here?
Oh, it better be good.
Ken Shamrock.
Oh.
And Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh. Okay.
So now this here's is,
the, go it, ahead, go it, ahead.
It's kind of tough, but it's tough for a different reason, right? So obviously Stone Cold is Stone Cold.
Right.
Ken Shamrock. Yeah, I thought Ken Shamrock was great in his time in the WWE.
I was a fan of Ken Shamrock during the Attitude Era.
And everybody waited for him, as we mentioned with his feud with The Rock, where you thought he was going to win. He won the, you know, at WrestleMania 14, he won the match, but because he wouldn't let go of the ankle lock, they reversed the decision. So you're like,
I don't mean to cut you off. Didn't the same thing happen at the Royal Rumble prior, or was it that The Rock got disqualified?
I think The Rock got disqualified at Rumble. Mm-hmm. He kept screwing over Ken Shamrock, because Shamrock was always like an inch close to winning.
Right. Okay, yeah, right. Go ahead.
So everybody waited for that moment. When is Shamrock going to win? He finally does after he turns heel, joins the corporation. He wins that tournament, becomes an Intercontinental Champion, but really doesn't do anything with it until he loses it to Val Venus, right?
Wasn't he double champion at the same time, too? Him and Boston were tag champs, and he was IC champ.
Right, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Whereas Stone Cold Steve Austin beats Owen Hart at SummerSlam, suffers the injury during the match, has to immediately vacate it, wins it back at Survivor Series, and I think that was his first match back, was at Survivor Series. Then jumps into a feud with The Rock and The Nation, has that one good match at In Your House, Degeneration X, then decides to hand over the belt to The Rock and relinquish it so he can pursue the WWF title. So that's just, if when you look at it, when you pick it apart, neither one of them had really great reigns as IC champion, but I give the edge to Stone Cold because at least he actually had a feud with it, whereas Shamrock really didn't.
If you think about it, he had two. He had the Owen Hart feud,
right,
that got him the belt, and then continued the feud even through the injury. And then had the feud with The Rock. That is a good match at Degeneration X when he drives a truck down the aisle, gives D'Lo Brown the friggin' stunner on the hood. Right. Whereas Ken Shamrock, he beats X-Pac in the tournament final because Triple H vacates it after the injury at, you know, the ladder match. Name me, and maybe this is us, you know, listen, I haven't watched anything in the Attitude Era in a very, very long time. But maybe I have to go back to the network, but name me a quality match or feud in that time for Ken Shamrock, because I kind of feel like I said, he was double champion, so he split his time with defending the tag title and kind of carrying around the IC belt. You know what I mean? And that's where I agree. I'm going to give the edge to actually Stone Cold here. Here's a question, a little side note. Did Ken Shamrock have what it takes to eventually be world champion?
I think so.
I thought so as well. But when you hear guys like Pritchard and Ross talking how he was like kind of unreliable.
Right.
You can see why he never got taken to that next level, because I always thought he could probably be that guy.
I think they were definitely grooming him for it at certain points. I mean, talk about In Your House DX. The main event was Shawn Michaels, Ken Shamrock for the world title.
Another solid match, too. Underrated pay-per-view, I think. The last two matches are actually pretty good. Then you had the boot camp match, Triple H and Charlie Slaughter. Remember that one? Not a great match, but the last two. Anyway, I'm sorry. You know what we got to do? We got to go through these archives one day. And find just like we did our underrated rivalries thing that we hopefully will continue again. Some underrated matches from pay-per-views that don't get enough recognition, I think. We need to just go in there, maybe do a watch-along, pick it apart. do some really quality things. Anyway, I digress. I'm gonna have a bunch of these questions as we go forward.
Sounds like a good plan there. All right, final matchup of the Attitude Era second round, Jeff Jarrett and Triple H.
Jeff Jarrett could go either way here. He was from the almost like the Golden Era, bordering on Attitude Era. Beats Razor, doesn't really do anything with it. You know, but that was a time where it wasn't always about defending. It was about the heel just doing whatever he can to retain. He beats the Godfather. He loses it to Edge for a day. He has some quality reigns here. Nothing significant. I'm talking about 60-day reign here, 50-day reign here. Triple H, his first reign is Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Not terrible. 115 days. Loses it to Maya Villa of Raw. But then when you get into the Triple H, he beats The Rock for it. Now he reversed, but he goes out with the knee injury. He has a pretty good reign, though, when he beats when he was part of Jeff the two-man power trip.
Oh, Hardy? He beat Jericho first.
Jericho first, loses it to Hardy for like a week, right? Yeah, and then he gets it right back. And then he loses it to Kane. But the two-man power trip was cool as shit. If he didn't get injured again or injured for the initial time with the quad injury, dude, that one of the most underrated teams ever. This is difficult, and I hate to say this because he's probably my number 1A favorite wrestler of all time compared to one Bret Hart, but I got to go Jeff Jarrett here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking the same thing, that Jeff Jarrett just had – I don't know if you call it better reigns, but maybe – more memorable ones than Triple H did.
Yeah, a couple of he has the good housekeeping match with China. Right, besides that feud, but feuds. Triple H, either it was cut short by injury, served the purpose for a storyline with him and Stone Cold for them to have all the belts, but then he got hurt with that one too. So it was never anything of significance. He has some really good matches. The Jericho match is good. The Hardy match is good. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's good. He has with that chain match with Kane where he lost it. It's Judgment Day, solid match. So, but overall, I'm talking quality of the reign. I think I'm gonna go Jarrett, and I hate to say it, but also Triple H retiring.
Yeah. Having to retire because of his health issues. He was on the Stephen A. Smith show talking about it. He revealed everything that he went through. His arteries to his heart were like 99% blocked.
And that's amazing for somebody who's so fit like that. No,
right.
I mean, yeah, that's amazing to me.
A genetic issue that he talked about, as he said, he almost didn't make it. And
he was in full heart failure.
Right. He's wearing a defibrillator now. So, Stephen A. asked him about his career and he said, I'm done. He's like, I can never wrestle again. So
to a fantastic career, Triple H, I give you the clink. One of my all-time favorite wrestlers, probably my second all-time favorite wrestler. It sucks that he had to go out like that, but the fact that he gets more time with his family and they recognized it before he was one of those tragic, gone too soon in memoriam segments.
Yeah,
I'm glad that happens. I'm glad we get more of him because he has one of the greatest minds for the business I've ever seen, and you've seen it played out with NXT. If he ever gets a chance to run the main roster, I feel like you'll see a renaissance in WWE. That's all I'm going to say about that. He's fantastic. He's one of the most underrated wrestlers of all time, one of the most underrated world champions of all time, because he gets constantly shitted on for being married to Stephanie and being in the front office. I said what I said. I don't give a shit. He has a losing record at WrestleMania, but everyone says he doesn't put nobody over. Go fuck yourself. That's all I'm going to say. All right, keep going.
So that does it for the second round, the Attitude Era. So here's our third round matchups for the Attitude Era. Jericho and Jarrett and Benoit and Stone Cold. So that should
be interesting. That's so odd. That's a couple of odd matchups there. All right. So we got Ruthless Aggression or Golden Era. You make the choice here. Where are you going? I chose the first two.
All right. So let's go Golden Era.
All right.
All right, so here are the seven names that are left. Remember, we're going to knock one out. So we got Pat Patterson, Pedro Morales, Rick Rude, Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect, Ultimate Warrior, Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels, and Randy Savage.
Wow, that's tough. This is the hardest one right now.
This is going to be a tough bracket, a tough
can we run down those names one more time real quick?
All right. Pat Patterson,
mm-hmm.
Pedro Morales, Rick Rude, Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect, The Ultimate Warrior, Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels, and Randy Savage.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I don't want to – so here's my thought process off the bat. I don't want to eliminate Pat because we gave him the first round bye. So what was the whole point just to knock him out in the second round?
Oh, we did that with The Rock.
I mean, did we? No, The Rock. Oh, yeah. That's true. But at least at least The Rock got a matchup, though.
Right.
Like, not just to eliminate him off the bat. Pedro Morales, like you said last week, we weren't really alive for his ring. So we have, you know, we can go back in the network, obviously, that's fine. The last one I'm leaning on here is one of two people. One is Rick Rude. One title reign. The feud with Warrior is kind of the thing that kind of cements that whole thing together. Other than that, right? Or the Warrior. Warrior beats the Honky Tonk Man's reign. So I think that's what kind of puts him over the edge. So right now, my two choices, I don't know where you stand, but my two choices are either Rick Rude or Pedro Morales.
I was thinking Pedro Morales. So I think Pedro Morales has to be the one to be knocked out here.
I don't know if we have a bias here because his reign was in 1980. We weren't we were just swimming. We were swimming then, man. We weren't even alive yet. We were chilling. That's a different era back then, man. You know what I mean? You're talking like he is one of the greatest world champions of all time as well. This is not discounting him as an IC champ. But when you're thinking about where we're coming from in our era, I got to knock him out. People may disagree. At Wrestling Guys PC, please let us know. But I'm getting rid of Pedro.
It's definitely tough to look at that era. Like, you know, when people talk in wrestling, we all know that Bruno Sammartino is one of the greatest ever. But we can't compare him. Like, if you put him up against Stone Cold, we're going to go Stone Cold every time. You know, because it's hard. We can recognize. It's like in football, right? To me, Barry Sanders is the greatest running back that I ever watched play. When people say Jim Brown is the greatest running back of all time. Yeah, I don't know about anything about Jim Brown except what people say.
Think about this. Like the way I see it now is like we grew up in peak Michael Jordan era. We saw Michael Jordan play. We saw him win those championships, right? Retire, come back, win three more.
Greatest ever.
And we've seen Kobe play. And like to me, like Jordan and Kobe are the two greatest players I've ever seen play. But if you see people in a couple years ago, it's LeBron, right? And then you see people a few years later and ask, like, let's say my students now, and they say it's Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then may ask people a few more years from now and be somebody totally different. You know, it goes by era. And it does. I mean, like, you know, and I will say Jordan's the greatest player alive, and I will defend that to the day I die. And I'm not even a Bulls fan. You know, we'll say, you know, I don't know, Stone Cold's the best world champion of all time. We could defend the shit out of that. While, you know, like, let's say our grandfather would be like, we never seen Bruno Sammartino, you full of shit. You know, and then we can go back and forth. That's the whole point of this, though, right? It's the discussion. Right. It's a debate. That's why we say it's the fans' perspective. We're not fucking experts. This is our opinion. So you can feel free to disagree, or you want to be like, yeah, these guys are right. We didn't grow up in this time, you know? So I agree with the Pedro Morales decision. That was my long-winded explanation to say, yes, I agree.
So with that said, here's our first matchup of the second round.
This is going to be tough, bro.
So
I see it already.
We're going to go somebody that you talked about maybe eliminating, and that's Rick Rude, as he's matched up against the first ever IC champion, Pat Patterson.
Okay, this is tough, bro. So Pat Patterson is the first ever IC champion. So here's the thing: I was doing a little research as the week went. I forgot that WWE had a North American Heavyweight Championship, and Ted DiBiase was the champion. Yeah, so Ted DiBiase was the champ. That's when he was like Iron Ted DiBiase or something. Some bullshit. He had like the one glove on, and Patterson beats him for the belt in Pennsylvania, legitimately 79, and then he beat Johnny Rods, using quotes, in Rio de Janeiro to unify those belts to be the Intercontinental, because Johnny Rods was apparently the South American heavyweight champion, and then became the Intercontinental Championship. This might go back to our Pedro Morales talk that we literally just had. This is 79. I ain't alive then. I couldn't tell you much about that reign. He's the first ever champion, and he'll always have that on his resume. Rest in peace to Pat Patterson. Maybe based off of that, I lean towards him, because when I think about Rick Rude, fantastic wrestler, do I list him as the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time? No. So I'm going to go. I'm actually going to go Pat Patterson here. This was actually very difficult just now.
Oh, man. I was just about to write Rick Rude down for the next round.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's go. Debates. Let's have it.
For everything you just said, right? Like,
it's difficult. But then when I think about it and I put it together, it seems like Pat Patterson has the edge. See, this, we need a third man. We need a third man here to be a tiebreaker.
We need a third man. All right. So you did some research. I admittedly was not able to because of my work schedule has been a little hectic. But
you need to quit your job then. That's what we're going to say.
Is there a notable or notable rivalries that Pat Patterson had during his run?
Okay, you know what? Let's just do it right now.
We can say this about Rick Rude. Rick Rude won it at WrestleMania 5 from the Ultimate Warrior. I can't name off the top of my head who he had a run with for that belt until he lost it to SummerSlam in the same year to the Ultimate Warrior.
I mean, Patterson, same thing, and then he lost it to Ken Patera. Let's go Rude here. Patterson.
Do we need to do the tiebreaker like we did the last time? Who had the longest reign?
Let's see. I will say this. Rude, in between him and Bossman, in between him and Warrior, had a feud with Bossman. Bossman went face. Okay, so let's go this. Let's go total number of days. Tiebreaker. Pat Patterson, 233. Rick Rude, 148. So.
Okay. So we'll put Pat Patterson on.
That was harder than I expected it to be.
It's going to get harder. We're going to save the hardest one for last.
My criteria is wide open for the record, those of you who are listening, right? I don't want to go by number of days. That's why I leave it for the tiebreaker. I'm going quality of reigns, quality of feuds within any of those reigns, memorable matches, and if some of them are like all-timers, you could also use that as well. You know what I mean? Like that's where I'm going. I'm trying to incorporate a number of things. Granted, not everything's going to come off the top of my head. You may think of something like, well, you crazy. Rick Rude had this match, that match. And then Pat Patterson had this match, that match. And listen, rightfully so. That's why this week I was trying to like look some stuff up, have some research. I even have something right now in front of me where I have like our list of champions, number of days, like little tidbits of information here and there. But like I'm trying to just keep it as open as possible. One, I just go right off the top of the head. And when I need that extra boost is when I go to the reference. I have to. But it's a lot when you're thinking about all these champions and like why they should move on. You know what I mean?
We have to have a tiebreaker, especially for this bracket, because this is the hardest one as we move on to the next one. And remember, I'm saving the hardest one for last. As we move on to the next one, Ultimate Warrior against Razor Ramon.
Oh, fuck you. Ooh, excuse my language. God damn, that's a good one. So we go Ultimate Warrior beats Honky Tonk Man's 454 reign. Does a 216 reign himself, loses it to Rude, wins it back at SummerSlam, does another 218 days before he vacates it because he wins and he's a double champion, Intercontinental and World title. One a great match in WrestleMania 6. Don't hate on the Warrior. I get he wasn't a great worker, but that match in WrestleMania 6 is a good match. And that's where it ends, right? He wins the world title. He's elevated to superstar status. He drops the belt. Perfect. Picks it up. Razor, Shawn Michaels vacates. First of all, I wish they would do this again. Battle Royal, the final two guys go into a match. I know AEW does it with the ring with MJF and stuff that he's won it the last three times or whatever. I wish they would do that more often. I do like that idea. He has one of the greatest matches of all time with Shawn Michaels in the ladder match, so another all-timer. Who's it? Diesel back. Jeff Jarrett. Was he the first ever three-time Intercontinental Champion? Correct me if I'm wrong here. You know, and then after, so he has the really good initial reign. The second reign was really good after he beats Diesel. Then after he loses it to Jarrett, he has like he wins a match like 2 days, wins it back, lost it back to Jarrett. He wins it again. So he's four-time champion at that point. And then he loses it. He does a whole thing with Goldust and he like refused to like work with Goldust because he wasn't with the whole androgynous thing. So the end of his reign kind of tapers off. Based on the fact that first ever three-time champ, he was a four-time champ, the outstanding, some people would say in all time, probably the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. You can make the argument. We had that debate last year with the ladder match, made the finals, right? Razor beats Ultimate Warrior.
I thought you were saying all that to go the other way.
Ah, you never know. I'm everywhere and I'm nowhere. Razor Ramon, based off the pedigree of quality of reigns, number of reigns, more memorable matches, where I think Razor takes the cake over Ultimate Warrior. Ultimate Warrior has the double champ thing, winning at six. Other than that, Razor's the better Intercontinental champion overall. And it's not the fact that Scott Hall just passed and the fact that we call it the Scott Hall Invitational Intercontinental Champ. I just made that up just now. I have no idea what I'm saying. But no, I think Razor is the better IC champ than Ultimate Warrior for sure. Where are you leaning here? Where were you going?
Man, it was tough. But I think you're right. Like, Razor had more memorable reigns. You know, because we got to see more of it, right? Because when Ultimate Warrior was IC champ during the, you know, the Rock and Wrestling Hulk Hogan era, a lot of their matches, a lot of their feuds and rivalries took place at house shows. They weren't televised. And you would get to see them on, like, Coliseum video, kind of, you know, those compilation tapes. But it wasn't, there wasn't a whole lot of weekly television. They had their Saturday Night's Main Event every so often.
I love Saturday Night's Main Event.
Right. That would build up to a big pay-per-view match, but there was no big Ultimate Warrior defending the IC title pay-per-view match.
We were the lucky ones, though, because they operated on MSG a lot, and we had the MSG channel on cable, and they would play all those house shows at night. And then later on, I don't know if you remember this, this is 2000s, they started replaying classic MSG, Mean Gene Okerlund would host.
I remember that.
And they would host those old matches. So we were able to watch that stuff. But a lot of the time, when you're at a house show, you know what's happening, right? You know Warrior's getting it back. It's very rare that they did a title change at a house show. I mean, every so often they do it to pop the crowd and do some storyline stuff. But you're right. I mean, Warrior had this long reign, but and maybe it's a product of the times, right? It's like, name me a good Warrior feud outside of Rick Rude for that IC title. You really can't, but the whole point was putting that title on him to elevate him to the next level. Right. Whereas everybody after that, the Perfects and the Hearts and the Pipers after that, had that title but made it mean something. That's why I give Razor that edge. You know what I mean? Not to, you know, no pun intended there, but that's why I gave him I literally gave him the edge over Ultimate Warrior there.
Yeah, I agree. So Razor moves on. Let's go on to the next match. Man, they just get harder. Shawn Michaels.
This is the best bracket, by the way. For the record, this is probably the best bracket here. We could probably do a whole Golden Era show and look at these IC champs. This is fantastic. Anyway.
Shawn Michaels and Randy Savage.
Shut the fuck up. Just when you think you're out, they pull you back in. This is hard. All right, so let's go through this. Savage, one reign, right?
Yep.
414 days, though.
Long time.
Long time. Has arguably the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. To lose that belt with Steamboat. In between there, little George the Animal Steel thing. He beats Santana for it, whatever. The one reign. But, man, did he not make that title prestigious with the robes and Elizabeth and coming out with the belt? Okay. Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels. Arguably, you can make the argument that he's one of the greatest IC champs of all time. He beats Bulldog. I remember him beating Bulldog Saturday Night's Main Event. I was at my dad's house in the Bronx. I stayed up late to watch that match. Bulldog goes for a superplex off the second rope. His back locks up because he hit the exposed turnbuckle beforehand. Shawn Michaels falls on top of him. 1, 2, 3. I remember that like it's like the back of my head forever.
That was the last Saturday Night's Main Event for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. 202 days. He loses it to Jannetty. When his partner comes back, he throws it like that was fantastic. That was a great build to him winning it. He wins it back with the introduction of Diesel. He gets stripped because, quote unquote, he didn't defend in 30 days, but he tested positive for I think it was roids. Well, he failed a drug test, let's say.
I think there was also, if you listen to, you know, Bruce Pritchard, one of his episodes about Shawn Michaels, Shawn Michaels actually quit the WWF for a little while.
Yeah. You're right. He's also probably quit several times, right? The outcome of him getting suspended leads to Razor winning the title and leads to another great WrestleMania match in the ladder match. Underrated match against Jeff Jarrett, the Lumberjack match, you know, that was called In Your House Lumberjacks. Yep. That match, so he wins the title back again, but then he has to give it up again, this time due to injury because of the Syracuse nightclub beatdown. That allows Razor to win it for the fourth time this time around. So all in all, fantastic reigns. This is hard, man, because you have one really good quality reign in Savage, and you have several reigns for Shawn Michaels, but they're intercut with like a suspension and a medical injury that has to give it up. But in between there, you get some really fucking good feuds. The Jannetty feud is really good. The Ramon feud is really good. WrestleMania 10.
He feuded with Mr. Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Mr. Perfect. SummerSlam 93. Oh, you know what? Yep. Thank you for that. Shawn Michaels. I think Shawn Michaels moves on. This is, if any of the ones that we did previously was a very slim margin, this might be like literally razor thin that I just picked Shawn Michaels there. Where do you go? I don't know. Where were you leaning?
It's tough. It's so tough. Here's my one problem with Shawn Michaels, all three of his Intercontinental title reigns, is that two of them he vacated. And as I said before, as we go further into this tournament, we have no choice but to point out negatives because we need to eliminate people in order to get to the winner, right?
Yeah, we got to start scrutinizing everything.
Right, we got to scrutinize everything. So if you look at Shawn Michaels, he notoriously during this era was a very difficult person to deal with.
And he was a dick, let's just say. Right. He was a dick, yeah.
Part of the reason why he had to vacate it twice was because of his backstage politics and nonsense. So I always think about that when I think of Shawn Michaels being Intercontinental Champion. However, I think of everything else that you said, and I give him the very, very slight advantage over Randy Savage.
The problem is that Randy Savage arguably has the best WrestleMania match of all time for the Intercontinental title. But I'll take the one WrestleMania 3 for the WrestleMania 10, the feud with Jannetty, Survivor Series 93 matchup, champion versus champion, Bret Hart, world champion versus Shawn Michaels. If you don't know that match, look it up. Another great match. Just the overall feud with Razor leading up to 10. And even the feud, the Mr. Perfect match with Michaels wasn't great, SummerSlam 93. But the buildup, talking about who's the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, was really good. Mm-hmm. That's why I give me Michaels. And if you disagree at Wrestling Guys PC. But that's where I give Michaels the edge right there. This is probably the most unpopular one. Either way, you could have went either way here and I would have been okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's fair to say. All right. So if you thought that was hard, wait until you get to this final one of the second round for the Golden Era.
Now I got to get myself another drink. Let's go. Let's hear it.
All right. It is Mr. Perfect versus Bret the Hitman Hart.
Shut your mouth. This is happening right now. This is happening. Woo! Okay. Okay.
I know where I'm going.
Oh, so you know what? Let's hear you first, because I'm spinning right now. Let's go.
I'm going Bret Hart.
Oh, okay. Why? Why are you going Bret Hart now? Let's
go. I'm going Bret Hart again by a very, very slim margin. A whole lot more of Bret Hart sticks out to me than Mr. Perfect as far as his overall reign as Intercontinental Champion. I might even go on record right now and say that Bret Hart will win this Golden Era bracket. Right, he beats Mr. Perfect in one of the best SummerSlam matches of all time, wins the IC title. Right. Now I know he lost it to the Mountie so they can put it on Piper. And then him and Roddy Piper have a great match at WrestleMania. He has that great match against the British Bulldog, which would be the end of his IC title journey because he would move on to the world title. But you're right. Bret Hart was a working Intercontinental Champion. He defended it over and over again.
Constantly. I remember seeing him on Superstars all the time.
Right. So I just think that his reign just sticks out to me a little bit more.
But let's not shit on Mr. Perfect.
No, definitely not.
So here's where I was leaning. I was going to go Perfect. So so now you gave us but let's preface it with this. Bret Hart's my favorite wrestler of all time. But Mr. Perfect, probably my favorite Intercontinental Champion of all time. Beat Santana in the final. At the time, he's one of the top heels in the biz. Some say he should have won that Royal Rumble year that they did the face-off with Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan. Maybe. Should have been in the final two, possibly. Has a nice little feud with Hogan. Remember when he broke up the world title on Saturday Night's Main Event and brushes the pieces off? Okay, great. Yep. He loses to Texas Tornado. Okay, great. Terry Von Erich wasn't the guy they wanted when he came out. Okay? Wins it back. Another 280-day reign. Another guy who I saw in Superstars every week with that title. Has Bobby the Brain Heenan as his manager. No one could touch Mr. Perfect in the ring until he goes against Bret Hart, SummerSlam 91. Another fantastic match. Now, here's the kicker. Mr. Perfect, suffering from a back injury, still puts on a great show, okay? Yep. Granted, that is the last time we see him as an Intercontinental Champion. On the way out, puts over the future, and Bret Hart puts on a great show despite the injury. Now, I'm going to fast forward here. Now, I'm not going to count this as such, but the fact that when he gets to WCW, they throw him in that U.S. title picture, and the U.S. title, also my favorite belt in WCW, the equivalent of the IC title there, all right, and could still go years later. Dude, Kurt Hennig is probably – he's going to go down. It's still – actually, no, not going to go down. Is right now one of the greatest guys that never held the world title. But despite all that, I agree with what you said about Bret Hart. I'm okay with Bret Hart. Moving on.
Okay.
But let's not discount Kurt Hennig.
No, we can't.
The greatness of Mr. Perfect. Please go back and watch his matches. Mr. Perfect. It literally, absolutely perfect. What a fucking fantastic wrestler. And even watch his shit in TNA. They were going to make him TNA World Champion, and he refused, and then he put Ron Killings over. Remember, take that shit of note. Seriously. That's the kind of guy he was. Notorious prankster, fantastic wrestler. He's one of the greatest. I will put him, and I don't know how you feel about this, but when we talk about technical wrestlers, you know, you talk about your Daniel Bryans and all your Bret Harts, everything. I'd put him in the top five every single time.
Yeah, he definitely deserves to be mentioned without a doubt. Without a doubt.
I had to speak on him, though. He's one of my favorite. He's the, you know, I'll tell you this. I used to collect the WWE magazines when I was a kid, like crazy. He was always there posing with Bobby the Brain with the title. I fucking love that. I bought that title. It's downstairs in my basement. I gotta go show you in a minute. But with the white strap. He's one of the reasons why. Him and Bret Hart. Oh, let me go. That might have been the hardest matchup. This whole bracket, yeah, you set this up. You set this up, man. This was a good bracket, dude. This is probably the best bracket we've had tonight. I mean, we still got another one to go, but this was the best one so far, for sure.
Yeah. Wow. And I'll say this one more thing about Mr. Perfect before we move on. The best vignettes ever.
Ever. Ever. Hitting the home runs, hitting the shots, throwing the touchdown to himself.
My favorite one is the bowling one. When he rolls the ball down the lane, turns his back to it, and right as he gives the two thumbs like this, he gets a strike. It's like you have to look it up on YouTube because it is just perfectly synced, and only he could do that.
According to Pritchard, all legitimate.
All legitimate, yeah.
All legitimate. And that just goes along with his character. All legitimate. That's fucking crazy, bro. If you ever see his documentary is one of the really, really good ones.
Yep.
And Wade Boggs, who's actually a really good friend of his, he saved Wade Boggs' life.
Crazy, yeah, good.
Right? That's absolutely, absolutely great. But anyway, that was, I'm a fan of that bracket. That was a really good one, man.
That was tough, but let's move on to the final bracket, the Ruthless Aggression era, the second round here. So here are the seven names. Remember, we got a cross run out off the bat. So we got Randy Orton, Jeff Hardy, Shelton Benjamin, Rob Van Dam, John Morrison, Christian, Edge, Carlito, and Umaga. Ooh. I think this one is easy for me. I'm going Carlito to knock him off right here.
Really? I was actually going to go Umaga.
Really? Okay. I really like Umaga's reign as IC champ.
Okay.
And I like his more than I like Carlito's, so I'm going Carlito here.
Okay. You know what? Let's see. Let me do some reference here. Yeah, I'm fine with the Carlito elimination. Yeah, I'm cool with that. Let's go with that.
All right. So Carlito is out. So let's set this up. First of the second round, the guy who got the bye last week, Randy Orton, is going up against Jeff Hardy.
Okay. So like how you said, Bret Hart could break out of this bracket. Randy Orton for me is going to be the one that breaks out of this bracket.
I think so.
When you talk about Randy Orton's reign, regardless, and this goes back to probably the Macho Man thing you're talking about, but regardless of the one reign, That one reign is fan fucking tastic. Jeff Hardy had more reigns combined than, you know, Randy did, but his was very like, you know, I have it for 30 days, 60 days here, I drop it. I'm with the feud with Triple H, I drop it. I have it for 7 days, I drop it. And where Randy Orton is, I could name those matches off the bat and the feuds and stuff like that that he had with it. Randy Orton for me is like, this is like a no-brainer for me. I think Randy Orton coast, to be honest.
I think so too. I think he will coast in this bracket. I mean, his reign was, it was significant because you knew he was the future. He beat Rob Van Dam for it at the end of 02 and then lost it to Edge. I'm sorry, the end of 03 and would lose it to Edge in Edge's return in 04.
That people booed, by the way. They weren't a fan of this shit.
Yeah, people booed it. Randy Orton had rivalries with Shelton Benjamin. And we can't forget his rivalry with Mick Foley. And they had that Intercontinental title match at Backlash.
Bro, that alone. And then on top of that, he's in the middle of being in Evolution.
Right.
That's bringing him up. Like, this was one of the times where I could go back and say, like, yo, the Intercontinental title was used to elevate somebody that was great. Randy Orton's one of the all-time greats. And his Intercontinental title reign is up there, one of the greatest reigns of all time. And it was one reign, which is fantastic. That's what I'm talking about. One that you could talk about and be like, dude, it was beating Rob Van Dam. And then he started the whole, was it 210 days? And then he starts the Legend Killer thing throughout that whole thing. It was 2003 into 2004. That Legend Killer shit, fantastic, dude. So, and then he does the feud with Foley, the whole, what was that? It was a... The no holds bar match with the barbed wire thumbtacks at Backlash. Absolutely. He spits in the face of Harley Race. You remember that stuff? And then kind of drops it unceremoniously to Shawn Benjamin. Based off of that alone, dude, it's Orton, man.
Yeah, so all right. So Jeff Hardy moves on. No, I'm kidding. Randy Orton.
Obviously. How dare you? I was gonna be like, you just make a mistake.
All right, let's jump around here. John Morrison against Christian. I'm going Christian here.
I had to take a sip of that. That's tough, man.
I mean, Christian had that feud with Edge during the whole Alliance era.
Do you remember when they reactivated the title? Remember when they
they put Kane
was a champion, Triple H. They remember when they were fucking merging all the titles, the Intercontinental title like disappeared for like almost a year. Yep. Not even a year, a couple months. And then Christian won it when they came back. When Steve Austin took over as GM, they brought it back, thankfully. And then he wins it off the bat. I thought it was going to be Booker T for sure. But so he has a couple of good significant reigns. He has a little few with Booker T because remember he eliminated, I think it was Booker T that he eliminated last, right, for the title? Yep. And then they had a little feud going back and forth. Okay, here's the thing, though. Morrison has a good feud with Jeff Hardy for this thing. Feud. We talked about it last episode. On Raw. This is such a good ladder match. Morrison, probably his tenure's a little bit. I mean, he also beat Rey Mysterio for it. It's more, a little bit more significant, but oof, I don't know. I don't, this is tough, man. You go Christian, I'm just going to agree with you. I'm going to go Christian. This is not in protest. I legitimately am like stuck right now.
It was a tough one, but I give it slightly to Christian there.
Wow.
I remember when he returned and he beat Cody Rhodes for it.
That was the second reign after he got it back from Big Show.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, so let's move on to the next one. Shelton Benjamin and Rob Van Dam.
Okay, so I don't know. Go ahead, because this is another one. Like, wow.
It's a tough one. You know, Shelton Benjamin had long, consistent reigns as IC champ.
Yeah.
Rob Van Dam had spurts as Intercontinental Champion. I think he was like a four-time champ. Yeah. He beat Regal for it. Then he lost it to Eddie Guerrero when Eddie Guerrero came back in 02. Then beat Guerrero in a ladder match on Raw. Then he lost it to Benoit, then beat Benoit at SummerSlam. Did he win it in a ladder match? I think he had some type of ladder match with Christian. As much as I love RVD, he had spurts as the IC champ. He just had matches.
It's very sporadic. You're talking like 35 days, 28 days.
Right.
Like very short reigns, 22 days. And granted, it's consistent. Like he always has really good matches with it. I think his longest reign might be 63 days as IC champ. If I'm doing my research correct here right now. Whereas Shelton Benjamin, the initial reign is 244. Mm-hmm. And in between there, quality fucking matches every week on Raw. Because he had to prove himself. Right? He was like every, and then the pay-per-view, because he beat Jericho. Remember Taboo Tuesday, he gets voted in and he got wins the belt. Right? And then he has that initial reign that's actually really good. And then after that, okay, fine. He has like that initial reign, like that next reign of like 69. But I think Shawn Benjamin's two reigns alone better than the equivalent of the entirety of Rob Van Dam's reigns.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. But Rob Van Dam did have, I think, better matches for the IC title.
You make a good argument there, too. He actually beat Shelton Benjamin for the belt in 06 when he was the
Money in the Bank
winner as well. And then he had that little feud. Toss up. So I would say as a dynamic performer, RVD, probably, higher quality matches. Shelton Benjamin has that initial really, really good reign. He has that one, and then he kind of peters off. So you're going RVD?
I haven't fully decided. I feel like I could go either way in a toss-up.
And me too. That's the problem. I'm trying to make an argument for both sides here. And I'm like, So let's go to the tiebreaker.
Then Shelton moves on.
Well, I don't know. Break out your calculators here. Because RVD has more reigns. Mm-hmm. So we're talking. Let's go. Let's go a little math. Don't teach it. So there's a reason for it. Let's go. We have RVD's initial reign, right, of 35. And then his next reign is 63. And then his next reign is 22. And then his next reign is 28. Next one after that is 48. And then 15 days. This guy is on some shit. So that gives him 211 days, which doesn't surpass Shelton Benjamin's initial 244. So Shelton Benjamin moves on.
Yeah, that was harder than I thought it would be.
Shout out to the iPhone for the calculator. So Rob Van Dam, and that's the problem too. I think at this point, especially in the in this era, it was a lot of title switches back and forth.
Yeah.
The tag team title switched a great deal at this point. You know, so even look at, you know, RVD's, like I just added them up, but you saw, but it was like that initial day of 63 was the longest one he probably had. Then it was 22, you know, then it was 28, 48. So, and then he beats Orton for it. Orton has for 210. That's probably the longest reign in this probably era that was significant after Shelton Benjamin that beat Jericho for it. Other than that, you know, and Ric Flair has 155 days. Everybody else has it in almost, you see no triple digit reigns in this era, if I'm looking right now. And this is just me breezing through it right now. You have like a Jeff Hardy reign that's pretty long and a Jericho reign, but everybody else is kind of almost like they were trading the title back and forth almost every pay-per-view.
And the same thing as we said for the modern era.
Yeah, it's a little hot potato with this thing.
Shelton moves on, which brings us to the final matchup of the second round, Edge and Umaga. Now again, Edge, short reigns.
Short as being a day, right? He wins the first one at a house show and loses back to Jarrett the next day, fully loaded. Very, very short reigns. Wow.
Beat Lance Storm at SummerSlam 01, lost it to Christian, beat Christian, lost it to Test, beat Test, then lost it to Regal, and wouldn't get it again until his return in 04. As we mentioned, he beat Orton and got booed for winning it. And that would start Edge's heel turn, which would put Edge on another level.
I mean, he's one of another classic tale of using this title to elevate somebody to that world title status. Oof. Umaga, wow, two reigns, right? But also short, 56, 61, right? He beats Hardy for it on Raw. I remember that distinctly. He loses it to Santino, the Milan Miracle. You remember that one?
I do, yep.
And then wins it back in July of the same year, only to lose it back to Hardy when Hardy has a significant run. These are like the era of the short reigns here, and this is difficult to say. I mean, if you ask me, the only significant Umaga feud is the one with Jeff Hardy. In between there, I believe he has the WrestleMania match with Lashley, the Battle of the Billionaires. Right?
Yeah. Was not wasn't for the belt.
It wasn't for the belt, but he loses. I think based off of the quality of matches, because the reigns aren't there, the number of days aren't there, I'm going to go Edge here with a slight advantage. I think he has better feuds. I think he has better matches.
Yeah, I agree. So Edge moves on against Umaga. So, yeah, so the next round is set for Ruthless Aggression. You have Randy Orton and Shelton Benjamin and Christian and Edge. Interesting.
The brothers in the next round. Oh, snap.
So there you go.
This is good. Dude, that golden era kicked my ass just now. Wow. That was like a who's who. You really got to scrutinize it, and it's only going to get worse as we go.
Third round is set of our greatest Intercontinental Champion tournament.
There are some matches we may have to go back and watch here. Because I'm feeling it right now. I'm like, that golden era, I just said it just now. It was like rough, but like, there are some matches we probably need to revisit. There's some matches we probably need to revisit in that Ruthless Aggression era as well. Because when we talk about like Edge, Umaga, even that last match we were talking about, there's some matches to be watched that we kind of slept on. I think fans in general sleep on. We can go for days and talk about, yeah, what about this high profile feud, that high profile feud, but it's about the ones that like we don't remember. You know what I mean? Like those matches are like, holy shit. And like, you know, it doesn't, especially now when like we're talking, and like obviously we're recording right now, so like you're kind of on the spot. We're not live or anything. You're so worried about dead air, we edited it afterwards, but I'm like, we'll get off this thing and I'll think about like five or six different matches. I'm like, oh shit, I should have said this, I should have did that, I should have did this. But I don't think about it till after it's all done. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's another discussion we had about this whole Intercontinental title thing. We need to revisit just in general, the IC title. I mean, and even the US title. We could do this whole bracket with WCW/WWE United States champions. And
we could.
The amount of quality matches you'll see there in feuds. I mean, we could probably argue on that for days as well. This might be the best bracket we've ever done. I don't know. It's good shit here, man. Really good shit. At Wrestling Guys PC on Twitter, please send it to us. What do you agree with? What do you disagree with? I definitely want to hear any and all things right now, because that was tough. That was a tough one. As we wrap it up, right now, they just unveiled on Access. Undertaker now has his own statue along with everybody else. He debuted along with the rest of the BSK, along with Shawn Michaels and Triple H. I'm going to try to show you a picture here. Nice Shawn. Here, check this out. Can you see that right here?
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
Nice Undertaker statue that's going to be unveiled. It's probably going to be in the main headquarters. They got Michelle McCool there, his kids, Godfather, Dennis Knight, Henry Godwin, Rikishi, Kane, Shawn Michaels, Triple H. Fantastic. That's the way to kick off WrestleMania weekend, with the new statue to the new Hall of Famer. And with that, I'm going to say, you find this episode where you find all your episodes. At Wrestling Guys PC on Twitter, Wrestling Guys Podcast. You want to look, you want to leave us a 5-star review. You want to tell us, F you, we were wrong on all our picks today. I don't care. Let us know. That's the whole point. Debate, discussion, let us know. At Wrestling Guys PC, Fans Perspective Podcast. Where we at, man? Are we talking Will Smith next episode? What's up? Do I have to jump on there? Are we talking Oscars and how bad they are? I don't know. What's up?
We might touch on that. All I can say is stay tuned.
Stay tuned. All right, Fans Perspective Podcast, Wrestling Guys PC. We love you guys. In the meantime, in the meantime, it's been the Wrestling Guys Podcast. We're going to talk about wrestling, news, and beer. Just about a whole lot of beer. Round 3 coming your way. WrestleMania recap coming your way. We did the clean seal deal. We love you all. Stay safe. Wash your damn hands. Pandemic ain't over. All right? Stay safe out there.